and of course all the 4-H events, a lot of good livestock gets brought to the Morgan County Fair.
Sure, it's truly a county fair, and right. That's what's neat about it, but it's got a little bit of that, and you guys have done a great job in the last, 10 years or so or longer, bringing in entertainment. Who do you got this year?
Well, this year we feel very fortunate with our package, we call it, of a lineup. Friday night, we open up with Devin Dawson, and our headline act that night is Landco. Now, Devin is new to the scene, but he's got 3 songs that's been in the top 20. They get played quite regularly, especially if you get on, a lot of the kids these days are, they're on Wi-Fi, sure. They're all that stuff. So it's pretty big in there and on the XM circuit. Landco has had 2 songs in the top 10 last year. One of them went number 1. So I think that night is going to be a really solid, from top to bottom, good entertainment-wise. Then on Saturday the 13th, we have Jordan Davis opening up for Chase Rice. Now, Chase is a little bit more of a popular name. He's been around the circuit for probably 10, 12 years, have had some really good songs. He's the only one that's played locally. One of the keys that we kind of look for is find bands that haven't really been in the area so that they're fresh, they're new. A lot of them are up and coming, but yet, they haven't been to the state fair or, any other venues around the area. And anymore, there's getting to be quite a few venues that you can still go see, between St. Louis to Peoria to Springfield to county fairs and stuff like that. So 3 of the 4 have not played anywhere around the area, so it's kind of nice. And Chase has got a real good reputation, and he puts on a really good show. So I think top to bottom, we feel very solid about our package.
And all 4 country acts, correct?
They are. Okay. And I'll just go ahead and say it. We do look for rock acts.
Sure, yeah.
But unfortunately, they're expensive. Mm-hmm. And I know some people want us to try and mix it up and do different things. And, we would love to. But for the money and for our venue and the capacity we can have, we would need to bring in a lot more people to offset the cost of those acts. And it just doesn't economically measure out. We get along really solid with the country acts. They bring in a wide range of people from, 10 to 75 years old or whatever. And it just seems to fit better for our area.
I know some of it's luck, but you guys have had a great track record of picking up groups that are just on the cusp. Is that, you guys doing your homework?
We try. There's 5 on our committee that we're already kind of putting together names for next year. And that's the thing in this business, since we started, this is our 12th year. Since we started this, the time involved has greatly increased to try and pick bands. And it used to be you could put an offer in December, and you might get it confirmed in January or February, and, they play in July. Well, not anymore. You've got to have your offer in July for the next year. Now, some of them you don't get. It's kind of the hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't think any of these were Landco was one of our first picks, first offers. So we try and get our headlines in, the headliners in first, and then fill in with the openers. But it's such a complex situation for trying to find the opener to fit with a particular headline, because they got to be from the same company, same management company. They like to, play out their own field.
Sure.
They don't want to cross paths with a different management company because politics, I guess. But but we really do listen to a lot of, XM stuff to see what's on there. We pay attention to the charts. We pay attention to the ratings. We talk to Dave Mason of Mason Sound. He sees a lot of these acts.
Definitely.
It's great. I mean, we started this whole project with his dad many, many years ago. And if I don't talk to him 2 or 3 times a week, it's rare because of the fact that I'm like, okay, have you heard these guys? Hey, what do you think about them? And, he sees a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes and how easy they are to work with. And, is their setup easy? I mean, and that makes it, good to know for us and our venue. And obviously they know our venue very, very well, but it makes things flow a lot better, especially behind the scenes. And that makes it for a much simpler process for us on the board, trying to cross the T's, dot the I's, because these contracts can be lengthy.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to see one. Don't want to deal with one. You got it. It's all yours. I get a sense, when you talk about, for instance, pop bands or rock bands versus country bands, and I may be way off base here, I get a sense that pop and rock bands may be more on the coast around the bigger cities. Country bands tend to gravitate in more rural areas, maybe more of the Midwest.
I think so. I just think it's kind of the you know, country music is just really popular around here and everywhere throughout the Midwest. Those kind of shows at the, whether at the county level or at the state fair level, are always very, very popular and well supported.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it too is country music has changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from when we were growing up, you had the Hank Williams, Wang Tang.
Yeah.
And it wasn't near as popular. But I mean, if you think about it now, I mean, you know, we liked Southern rock bands, say 38 Special, things like that. Well, some of these bands sound very, very similar to that type of music. And I think that's why they draw to so many different types of kids and people these days, because it sounds similar for a wide range of people.
Right.
And I think that's the big draw. And there's even some people that go as far as saying that it's not really country. It's called pop country. And probably to this extent, they're not too far off base. And there's another avenue of country music kind of coming up. It's called Texas Red Dirt. And it's a little bit more that, I don't say old style, but it's back to a little bit more of the country roots. And it's really becoming very popular. And there's been a few shows in Springfield and Champaign.
So that's something you guys may watch down the road.
Oh, yeah. It's, in fact, we tried for a couple of those acts this year, but routing just didn't work out. And they were already booked and other shows, and it didn't, you know, route from a Friday night to a Saturday night at our place.
You know, and we find in our business, in the radio business, you used to be able to, you know, you were pop, you were country, you were... Some of those don't really even hardly exist anymore, those genres. It's everything's sort of blurred on the edges, and it's difficult sometimes to find an act and say, that's, well, it's not quite country, it's close to, you know, and then you're developing your own description of it.
It's definitely evolved a bit.
And you get a lot of country bands that do duos with pop bands.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think NSYNC is doing a song with a couple of country artists these days. And, I mean, that's fine. That's great. But I'm just referring on to your reference. It just crosses things up. And it's like, okay, so is that more of the pop country? Or, I don't know. It's a heck of a combination. But we do a lot of research, and we really try and find venues or entertainers that's going to fit our venue. And I really think from top to bottom, this is going to be our most solid set, from especially with these openers, because Jordan Davis has had two songs, and they his first one I think went number 4, and his second one went number 2, and so he's got a really good track record, and he's pretty popular right now amongst a lot of the college kids and stuff.
And collectively, seriously, you guys have developed this a little bit of a reputation of being a fair in which the up and comers perform. So when they see a name there, they may not know who they are. There's enough trust built up there, I think, that people show up.
That's right. I think we've kind of lucked out there. Billy Currington was one that kind of, as soon as we got him booked, that song hit pretty good. And in this case, you know, two of these guys were recognized, Lanco, as what was the best group of the year.
Best new group of the year.
Best new group. And at the ACM Awards. So we've been very fortunate that way to get some momentum as we come into our fair. So it's a great deal.
They used to call it the Red, White, and Blue event. It's a different name now. It's a different tack. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
You live and work here. And
good.
So do we.
In County Fair this morning, now we look at Marty and say, we used to know it as the Red, White, and Blue.
Yes,
now you've taken a different tack.
Yes. It will be 5 o'clock somewhere at the Morgan County Fairgrounds this year, so to speak. We've kind of recreated the Red, White, and Blue event into a Jimmy Buffett Parrothead night or event. And so we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be on July 10th, that's Wednesday, at the Fair Pavilion. And this is also in conjunction with Golden Eagle Distributors. They've been a great partner for us for many, many years out there at the fair now. And so Mickey, Brian, and Bill are all on board, and they're going to bring a lot to that night, that's for sure.
Do you have somebody coming in to perform, or how
does
that
work?
Yes,
we do. Gary helped me with that. Band's called the Boat Drunks.
Which, if you know Jimmy Buffett, and if you're a parrot head, that's probably not a shocking name to you.
Right, but we've done some checking out on these guys. They've been in the Springfield area a time or two, very well liked, and they got a great lineup of songs that'll fit the evening, and we're really looking forward to having them.
They've also been doing this for 18 years.
Yeah,
they're out of Champaign. That's where they're based out of. And they go to, like, in April this year, they're going down to Nashville to do a pre-party for Jimmy Buffett concert that he's putting on in Nashville. So they've been around. They've opened for Jimmy and done some pre-partying for him and things like that. But they'll go down to, I think Busch Stadium has a Jimmy Buffett day. They play down there. The Blackhawks also have a Jimmy Buffett night or something with their games. They go up there and play. So they go around the area. They've been around the country, and they have some of their own music that they wrote.
Well, that was kind of my question. It sounds like they do not only the covers for some of Jimmy Buffett's music, they've got their own stuff, too, very similar.
And like I said, for doing it for 18 years, they're really...
They're seasoned.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they've seen a lot and done a lot, and the more we've talked to them, I think they're going to be a great fit because they want the crowd to kind of get involved and, you know, wear your flip-flops, dance the part.
You bet. We want everybody to come out and dress the part. There's going to be contests, you know, for individuals or groups that can come in with the best, you know, parrot head night. Look, you know, we want all that attire to come out strong. And I've bought a brand new shirt just for the occasion. You know, it's got parrots on it, of all things.
It's the only time you'll wear it, but that night it's appropriate.
That's what you call money well spent.
Yeah, there you betcha. Yeah, you buy it for a reason and you do it. Now, are you... for all this, the Parrot Head Night and for the concert lineup, when do tickets go on sale?
We're going to start putting that out here pretty quick. We're still putting all this plan together here, but there'll be something announced here shortly on the website and things of that nature. If anybody is interested, like a group or organization, to compete for that coveted prize, you know, for best attire and whatever, give me or Gary or the fair office a call, and we'll talk to them about sponsorship information at that point.
And I was going to say, on the tickets for the concert, they went on sale April 2nd, and they're just off of our website at themorgancountyfair.com. And the ticket prices are the same. They're $20 for a general admission, and then $30 for a big ticket on Friday night. And Saturday night is $25 for general admission and $40 for a big ticket. The big ticket is a kind of a gated-off area right to the front of the stage that you can go in and out of throughout the night. So if you need to go back to get another beverage, water, Sprite, tab, that type of thing, you know, you can get back up there and still be at the front of the stage. There's 400 of them sold, and that's it. Now, the last couple of years, we've sold out of those. We haven't sold out yet, but they do
go quickly.
The Parrot Head Night, once you get in the gate, you're in. You don't have to buy a ticket. To get into the pavilion or anything like that.
Oh, that's great.
So it's almost, I don't want to say it's a free event because you have to pay gate admission, but it doesn't cost any additional to get to the Parrot Head Night.
We just want people to come in and enjoy the evening. Like I said before, Golden Eagle is going to help us with that evening with party favors and things of that nature.
We're going to have margaritas.
Margaritas.
Okay. And Landshark.
Landshark.
Which is the Jimmy Buffett.
Sure.
Of course, our local brews here through Golden Eagle and such. And the other thing, too, is we're still going to have some wine on hand for those that are used to having maybe a glass of wine that night from Red, White, and Brews. They can still enjoy some of that, too.
That kind of plugs into the whole night, kind of a mellow night.
There you go.
Now, the fairgrounds, any changes this year that people notice? Anything you're either working on, have worked on, or is ready to go?
I'd say the 4-H building is probably one of the bigger ones going on right now. But there's a lot of things, infrastructure-wise, that's always going on out there, you know. But that 4-H building, I can't wait to see that done. The improvements under the grandstand are nothing short of amazing. Wow, you know. But it's a lot going on and some great improvement, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're redoing the inside of the 4-H building, cleaning the whole ceiling, the whole nine yards. So our goal is to eventually get that completely redone on the interior, and then, if possible, we would like to heat and air condition that facility. And, you know, we'd like to have some events in there, like for the 4-H auction.
Sure.
That works out great. Last year we had all of our buyers' dinner, lunch, luncheon in there, and it worked out really well because it's got a lot of space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can sit, mingle, talk. We do some awards and some recognitions and so forth. And so that worked out really, really well, and it wasn't unbearably hot.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
if we can continue to make improvements there, fences around the grounds. We did a brand new fence on off of Grand.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to improve that. New wiring. We're looking at better drainage systems for the pavilion and so forth. And there, continued working on looking at doing a whole different bathroom, redoing those under the grandstand,
mm-hmm.
and just continue to keep improving
sure.
the grounds and make it better for the community.
That reaching back to our 4-H auction last year, you know, when we had that after the fair, that was really a great day. You really felt the sense of that fair family coming together and mm-hmm. appreciating all the work that'd been done there coming into that. That was my thought on it anyway. It was just a really nice day.
And I think that's what makes the Morgan County Fair kind of special. Mm-hmm. A little bit of the big city, a little bit of the small city, that local feel, which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to ask Gary a little bit about the efforts to help farmers in some flooded areas back after these messages. 5 minutes. Gary, let's very quickly. You guys, farmers, are getting together and helping some folks in need.
That is correct. This community has always done a great job of helping people out that have been kind of put behind the eight ball with Mother Nature. And a couple years ago, we did it for Ashland, Kansas, when they had the fires. We did it for the hurricane. Victims in Oklahoma, tornado.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this year, everybody's probably seen a lot of issues and what they're dealt with out in Nebraska with mm-hmm. the flooding, the ice chunks. It's completely wiped out. I think there's 26 counties and about 65 communities in this path of destruction. That's a national
disaster
area. Yes, thank you. So what we're trying to do is with coordination between the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau and the Morgan County Fair Board, we're trying to put together kind of a flood relief effort. In that, the biggest thing they need is fencing supplies. Mm-hmm. Everything's wiped out. These ice chunks, if you can imagine an ice chunk the size of a pickup truck flowing on a 13-foot wall of water, whatever's in its path, it's going to take it out. And it did. So they can't find hammers, pliers, mm-hmm. Post drivers, fence stretchers, barbed wire, even baling wire, just to mend a fence. I mean, we've got that all over the place, but it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Their structures are damaged. Their equipment's gone. The trees, they have no bark left on them. A lot of the cases from about a 12 or 15-foot area between about a foot off the ground and up, because that ice has just hit it and just shredded the bark. So they're all going to die.
Trees, yeah.
Yeah, they're all going to die. So basic fence supplies, they can be taken to the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau office, which is off of Tindick Street in town. If you bring anything in there, and it can be used, I mean, you got a good used hammer laying around, it's still usable. They would love to have that. Pliers, staples. Our fair Facebook page has got a list on it. You can call the Farm Bureau office and get a list there. You can go to Buckeyes or somewhere in town and, you know, Farm at Home, buy a bag of insulators. FS has got them.
Mm-hmm.
Take it out there, put your name in a box for a drawing. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to each night of the concert as an incentive for people to bring things out. So if people can do that to help these folks out, we've got some good cash donations. You can donate to the Cass Morgan Farm Bureau Foundation. It's a 501c3, so it is tax deductible. So we've got about $1,500 so far, and we got more coming in on a daily basis, cleaning supplies, anything. So we'd like to get, we got 4 semi-loads of hay donated right now, about 100 to 150 T-posts, steel T-posts, and some barbed wire and things like that. So it's starting to come together. We'd just like to put a really solid package together for these folks they got hit with all this snow last
year. Sure.
Night.
Any deadline? And
it all depends on when we can get it out there.
Yeah, that's true.
They're dealing with this blizzard right now, so mm-hmm. you know, you can't get anything to move in there now. And some of these towns you can't even get to because there's no road structure left.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to a couple of the worst, Lynch, Nebraska, for example, I believe the only way you can get there is you got to go up into South Dakota, which they've got 20 inches of snow, and they got an old 6-ton bridge. It's the only thing you can get in and out of a couple of these towns because everything else is wiped out.
Yeah.
So these guys have got hit with a lot, but you know, they'll get through it. But if we can help them out, we'd like to. We're going to take our stuff, our supplies, into a town called Verdigris, Nebraska. It's a small little town. The guy's got a sale barn there that he is pretty much just shut that down and is doing nothing more than being a distribution center. Mm-hmm. So for all the hay, equipment, so forth, it's going to come in there and get kicked out to the farmers and things like that, just to get these guys, hopefully, to be able to handle it until they get to some green grass.
All right, very good. And Marty, you wanted to mention that you're getting a pretty good response.
Yes. You know, last year when we were thinking about kind of recreating this night, just started, you know, asking a few folks what they thought of this idea. Went over very well, and it's been a lot of good response. Got some sponsorships coming to us already. We're really grateful for that. And just a great way to kick off the fair. Really looking forward to it.
Guys, thanks for coming out. We
appreciate
it.
Thank you very much.
We need a break for CBS News at the top of the hour, WLDS Channel.